The views expressed on this show by guests and the host on issues outside of the 9/11 controlled demolition evidence are the opinions of those individuals alone and do not necessarily reflect those of architects and engineers for 9/11 truth.
Welcome to 9/11 Freefall. I'm the host, Andy Steele. Today we're joined by Richard Gage, AIA. He is a San Francisco Bay Area architect of 30 years. He's a member of the American Institute of Architects, and of course he is the founder and president of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, which represents more than 3,000 architects and engineers who have signed our petition demanding a new investigation of the destruction of all three World Trade Center skyscrapers on September 11th. He's been going strong for many years here, and it's an honor to have him again on the show. So, Richard, welcome back to 9/11 Freefall.
Thank you, Andy. It's awesome to be here with you again.
Yeah, and here we are, 20 years now after 9/11. We're almost to the anniversary. Some exciting stuff planned we'll be announcing later on in the summer. But you're coming off of the heels of speaking at the Red Pill Expo. Go ahead and tell our audience what the Red Pill Expo event is all about.
Well, this is the fourth annual Red Pill Expo. It started in Bozeman, Montana by G. Edward Griffin. And he has invited us three times to speak at this lofty event. There was, the first time there was 500 people there, Andy, and there was 800 people there all together this time in Rapid City, which is an extraordinary place to have the Red Pill Expo, the home of Mount Rushmore, which I had the opportunity to visit afterwards in a little vacation with my wife, Gail, and we were celebrating our second anniversary. So we had a little camping trip afterwards for 3 days and enjoyed the local sites, the Black Hills of South Dakota and so forth. But I was incredibly moved by the speakers at the Red Pill Expo, as I always have been. Each year I've been able to go back. We have a broad spectrum of speakers on Red Pill topics, such as 9/11. A lot of people here were not aware of the truth about 9/11. And I was just so pleased to be able to bring this topic to them yet again. I mean, this conference attracts a large number of people each time that are new, because it's geographically, you know, kind of alternates all over the United States. They were in Jekyll Island on the East Coast last year. And then, as I mentioned before, that Bozeman, Spokane, Arizona, they had it in, and now Rapid City, which I was able to visit. People would come up to the table that Gail and I manned, and we had hundreds and hundreds of DVDs because I was able to just put boxes in the cars, and people would ask us about them. You mean, really? There was a third tower that collapsed on 9/11? I'm going, yeah, like, look at it. Here it is. Come see my talk tomorrow afternoon. And it was fantastic. I just love talking to new people. And then on the other hand, there were people that came up to me all during the conference saying, I've been following the work of AE 9/11 Truth for 15 years, some of them. And that's when we started, was about 15 years ago. And they were like, you guys, one guy said, he started crying right in front of me. He said, you changed my life. And I'm going, well, that just touched my heart, right? What happened? Oh my God. He said, I was completely believing in, you know, what the media told me, what the government told me. And when I saw your work on 9/11, which is of course the work of 3,500 now architects and engineers signed on to our petition demanding a new investigation, and this the way we've put the science together really has moved people. And this gentleman, I forget his name, but it was just so touching because it not only woke up his mind to the fact that things are not as they seem, the world is not as it appears. He'd taken the red pill, with as many do, with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth's information, our documentaries, our 50-page booklet, which I was also selling like hotcakes for a $10 donation, and our DVDs, the new one included, including buildings, including seven, the name of the DVD that we made to highlight the work of Professor Leroy Halsey from the University of Alaska, who spent 4 years and $300,000 of money that was given by supporters in amounts, as most of them about $10, $15. But we were able to fund this study. And of course, he completely pulled the rug out from underneath NIST. And I presented this on Sunday, June 6th, to everybody in the audience. And this was new information for the Red Pill Expo, even though, you know, it's been out about a year now, this study. And I showed them how he analyzed and took the information from NIST completely. And as they had it, fraudulent as it was, because we want to compare apples to apples. And he said, no, I didn't get the same results at all. My results were completely different. For instance, NIST says the girder that was slid off of its seat on column 79 would have moved the other way if it could move at all, but it had shear studs and it had other structural elements on it that would have kept NIST's entire global collapse scenario, let's call it their sequential pancaking collapse scenario, progressive collapse, they called it, from ever happening. So on and on and on, Professor Halsey disproved the official story, finally concluding using two very sophisticated separate studies from different software platforms, coming up with the exact same results that this building, if it could have collapsed due to the fires that NIST claims were raging in there, but proof shows that they were not at all raging. They're few, small, and scattered. It would have caused the building 7 to fall over. And the only way that they could have, that the building could have fallen straight down uniformly, symmetrically into its own footprint is with the removal, the simultaneous removal of all the columns in the building. Now, no office fire, no matter how hot and large and long-lasting it is, can possibly accomplish that. And, of course, never has in history brought down a steel-frame fireproofed skyscraper. And yet Halsey, Professor Halsey, doesn't speculate on what might have done that, but we all know intuitively. And we all have seen the old hotels in Las Vegas where they've removed those columns by explosives. And so clearly that's the implied result from the work, the great work from the University of Alaska there. So I presented that. And the other piece of new information that I was asked to present by G. Edward Griffin was the incredible work of Professor Graham McQueen and Ted Walter 7 months ago or so worked very hard to analyze the reporters, the TV reporters reporting of that day on 9/11. And they found that of the 40 TV reporters, 36 of them, the overwhelming majority, were characterizing the collapse of the towers as an explosively caused event, because that's who they were talking to. In addition, about 10 of them themselves were actual eyewitnesses of explosions, saying that the explosions were blowing material onto them, that the there was another explosion, and then a third explosion, one would say, and they would characterize the entire event as an explosives-based event, because that's what everybody was experiencing down there, who they were talking to. And only four of the 40 TV reporters actually talked in terms of a natural collapse or a gravitational collapse or a collapse due to fire caused by the jet plane impacts and the columns. But even those are they disarm themselves for various reasons, as you can read in this incredible article. 36 reporters refer to explosions as the cause of the collapse. That's the title of the article, something like that. You can Google it and or look on our website at ae911truth.org. Now, thank you, Andy, for this, because what we are able to do is condense hours of testimony down to 5 minutes. and it's extraordinary. And people love that. A lot of people came up to me afterward and said, that was amazing. Explosions, and then another explosion, blowing debris on all of us. For 5 minutes, you're hearing nothing but explosions from these reporters, and it is very convincing, very well done. And Andy Steele, our own Andy Steele, put that together. We were amazed to be able to present that, and that's no one has seen that before. Or since, actually, because that the red pill presentation that I made for 40 minutes, which included that, has not been released yet by the Red Pill Expo, but we hope to get our hands on it soon. And then also we can talk to our team, Andy, about putting that on YouTube and making it publicly available if it's not already, and absolutely, maybe do a little article on it. Yeah, because if we do an article on it, then everybody will know about it and benefit from it. Because I don't think it's exclusively red pill, you know, material.
Well, it will red pill you, because it's great for outreach, and there's nothing like seeing it all condensed down to 5 or so minutes of just hearing people give their initial firsthand accounts right from the moment it happens, before all of the official narrative sets in and the groupthink sets in, people giving their initial accounts of what they heard. And time after time, these reporters are saying explosions. Some of them even saying there had to be secondary devices. So it's great for outreach. If you can get people on the street to watch this video for the 5 minutes, they're going to come away with something, and then hopefully they're going to be coming away questioning what happened on that day. It's so funny you talk about people not knowing about Building 7, and we're so used to doing this. I mean, the first thing I think about when it comes to 9/11 is Building 7. It's the first image that pops in my mind. Most people think of airplanes hitting towers. They think about the towers, the Twin Towers collapsing, and they don't know about this third building, which is the first thing that pops into my mind and probably into the mind of a lot of the people out in our audience there. So it shows we really have our work cut out for us still to reach those people who have not even heard that this issue exists. Now, we're coming on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and humans like to have nice even numbers to celebrate when something happens. And there's nothing to celebrate in the case of September 11th, but it is something to look back on. We know TV, government is going to make a big deal out of it because it was such an important event, and it's 20 years later. Why is 9/11 and the World Trade Center evidence more important now than at any time before? I think it is, and I know why I think it is, but I want to hear from you. Why is it so important now as we're coming to the 20th anniversary?
Well, we have everybody who's going to be focused on the topic. There will be shows put on by the mainstream media supporting the fraudulent official story, the myth of 9/11. And we are going to be in a unique position to be seen as the front line of the 9/11 truth movement. So we will be referred to when they inevitably have to present the fact that there are alternative theories as to what went on here. They call them conspiracy theories. The 20th anniversary is also a time for people to reflect on how different our society is as a result of 9/11. We have now lost civil liberties. People don't often realize this, even though they're still losing them as we speak, as a result of the next major issue that Americans are facing right now and all around the world. But 9/11, any of us can be arrested without a right to a trial, a lawyer, a jury. We can even be tortured and assassinated, American citizens, for using force, and force is not defined, nor is terrorism. So we have yet perhaps to see the worst misuse of these new tools. Well, we need to turn that a rallying cry to be heard around the world on the anniversary of 9/11. So that's our great opportunity. We are hitting it with everything we got.
Now, something I have said for years, and I really believe this, it's my philosophy going forward, it's why I continue to do this work, to pursue a new investigation, but why I see victory even in things that don't always end in that result. You know, we haven't had a new investigation yet, but just doing the outreach has a three-dimensional impact. Very important. And when I say by three-dimensional impact, let's say you reach out to a congressman's office. Now, you may not talk to that congressman directly, but you might talk to a staffer. You might wake them up. They might not be able to say anything at that point because they're still kind of low level. But at some point, that staffer may become a congressman himself. And then through the changing of events and changing of attitudes here in this country, because you've planted that seed about 9/11, it may impact some other issue later on. So anytime you wake up people to 9/11 and the World Trade Center evidence, wake them up to World Trade Center 7 coming down at free fall acceleration in only 6.5 seconds, it changes their outlook. It changes how they view the world around them. And again, new incidents come up, new issues, their perception of that is going to be affected, and who knows what kind of fruit will be born from that. Maybe they won't go along with some kind of further civil liberty killing legislation that gets brought up in the future. Maybe if another 9/11 happens, they will question it more. So that's why you got to keep on doing this work, even if you don't always get the results that you want. There's success that can be derived from any kind of outreach. Now, that's my view of the three-dimensional impact of our outreach. Richard, I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, it's just an amazing opportunity for us to use the science. It's all there. Our job is easier than people, you know, putting out the truth about education, the truth about medical tyranny, the truth about other issues, because people generally, they can intuit scientific principles like for instance, free fall, the name of this show that we're talking on is based on seventh grade physics. We all have a grasp that a building can't fall as fast as a bowling ball falling out of the sky without its structure, its columns, in which case building seven, there's 80 of them, all having been removed at once. Now, we didn't have to pay Professor Halsey for us to understand that, but we did. And he didn't have to take 4 years to figure it out, but he was thorough. And he wanted to do the job that was flawless, that would be impeccable in the eyes of structural engineers all around the world. And now it's traveling all around the world because we have this 135-page study, which you can download and you can present to everybody. So the science, and that's just building seven science. The Twin Towers is even easier because we have the evidence, the scientific evidence of molten iron, the byproduct of thermite, an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. We have the science of unignited nanothermite, which produces molten iron microspheres when you put it in a special heater, a differential scanning calorimeter. All of the components of the evidence that we provide, including the witnesses of explosions, are all backed up by the science. In 45 minutes at the Red Pill Expo, I was able to lay this out, and everybody got it. In fact, I've done 700 presentations around the world in 23 countries now, and usually before I ask how many people pretty much believe the official story, how many pretty much are unsure, and how much have already looked into this evidence and find that we need a new investigation. Afterward, almost everybody who believed the official story is on board with agreeing that a new investigation is very, very much needed. So it's that convincing. The problem that we face and the opportunity of the 20th anniversary is that we can now get this in front of a whole lot more people with a whole lot more horsepower behind it. I'm usually besieged with interviews about that time, but we're going to be having 10 times the amount of attention on us with interviews and hits to our website, which we're gearing up for. Andy, was there another aspect of your question that I didn't get to? I'm afraid that's the case.
Well, just what we do and how it impacts the overall world. I mean, I really think a lot of the pushback that we see in other areas of human life here in the United States comes a lot from people waking up to 9/11. Whether they have the courage to speak out about an event that dramatic and that controversial or not, once you distrust the government, it may manifest in some other issue. And, you know, we're not taking sides on any particular issue here, but if there's something involving economics, people aren't trusting the government plan, or if there's some issue involving something else or some kind of public crisis, people are pushing back more than they used to. And I think that the 9/11 truth movement, not just us here at AE, but the 9/11 truth movement and the overall questioning of this issue has impacted our society in that way, that we are going to see changes, and we're just going through those pains right now as those changes are coming. So what do you think about that?
If people wake up about 9/11, they'll throw every member of Congress out who didn't demand a new investigation. That's just about all of them. I mean, they covered this up. Congress covered this up. What's happened to our Congress that, you know, we go to them, as I mentioned, every year, and we try to get them to see the simple science and to realize that the implications of that, but the implications are too big for them and for most people. It's going to take a massive groundswell to wake up our congresspeople to demand a new investigation. We made it easy for them. We've written the legislation. It's called the Bobby McIlvain Act. We take that. In fact, we're asking everybody right now, here and now, to go and make an appointment with your congressperson so that we can change our society. That's what it's going to take. You make a 10-minute appointment by phone, which is common now, and because of COVID, and we'll be on the phone with you. We'll give the presentation. We'll make it very painfully clear to your congressperson or staff member what the score is regarding the evidence at the World Trade Center and how important it is that we get a new investigation. We'll give them the Bobby McIlvain Act. We'll ask them to introduce it as legislation, and then we'll get a real investigation. People ask, well, how are you going to change things? Well, this is how we're one way, one of many ways we plan to change things. So, but it takes you. We have 70,000 people on our mailing list, and if all of you did that, we'd be on the phone all day, but we'd be glad to do it. 10 minutes talking to hundreds and hundreds of congresspeople, 536, I think it is, and state legislatures as well, because states have enormous power, actually, when you come down to it, because of the responsibilities that the Constitution gives the states. Not the responsibilities, but the freedom. So, yes, we want to do it, and we're going to do it, but we can't do it without all you guys listening to this.
Exactly, and it only takes a little more work than ordering a pizza. We do a lot of the work. We even sit there on the call with you, so please consider participating. If you have any questions, write to Congress at ae911truth.org, and also get onto our email subscriptions. That's how you can keep track of what we are doing. You can also listen to the show because we cover everything that we're doing here, so please listen to 9/11 Freefall as well. But getting on the email bulletins and finding out what's going on with AE and all of our work, and we're going to be announcing a lot of cool stuff over the summer, so you're not going to want to miss that. So if you're not subscribed yet, then please do. Richard, I know you got another interview to do, and so you're a very busy guy, so I'm going to let you off and do that, but thank you so much for all the work that you're doing, for founding this organization to begin with, and of course for coming on 9/11 Freefall today.
Thank you, Andy.
This program is on every Thursday night on No Lies Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, and every other Sunday night on BBS Radio at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. You can also keep track of the archives by going to 911freefall.com. This is Andy Steele. So have a great week. Good luck.